You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is my interview with the star for the film Blood for Dust, Scoot McNairy.
What are you selling?
I'll sell products that sell themselves.
You're an arms dealer who sells drugs, Ricky.
I don't need a salesman. I'm sorry.
We need money.
I'll try. All I need is something that pays.
Well, I didn't think you'd call me.
Risks?
Getting caught.
How much?
All right, everyone, I'm being joined here on the Next Best Picture podcast by one of my favorite actors working today, Scoot McNairy. Scoot, first of all, man, how are you today?
I'm good, Matt. How are you? Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I've been wanting to talk to you, I'm not kidding when I say this, for I think well now over 10 years since you had that surge in your career in the early 2010s. We've been keeping our eye on you ever since in every project that you do, because quite frankly, I just find you to be one of the best character actors that we have working today.
Jeez, Matt, that's a really, you're very kind. Those are very nice compliments. I don't know what to say to that. I feel really lucky and blessed to be having opportunities or being able to work. But yeah, man, it's been awesome, man. I feel really lucky. You know what I mean? It's a tough industry, tough business. So I feel very, very stoked to be just working at the end of the day.
Yeah. No, I really feel like your presence adds so much, whether it's like a one scene moment in something like Gone Girl, or in this case here with Blood for Dust, where you are the lead of the film. I'm curious to know, what is it for you that draws you into a role? Is it what's written on the page itself, the character acting opposite other actors, the director? Like, what pulls you in? Because you've done big budget films, small budget films, lead roles, supporting roles. Curious to know where your mind goes.
That's a really great question, Matt. I guess I can't really answer that question, but I guess I could kind of lend to, I am a story junkie. I love stories. I love really good stories. I love stories that punch you in the gut, and I love stories that punch you in the face. And when I read something that's really good, I just get in this place where I just want to be a part of it. I just want to be a part of that story. And sometimes that falls as, you know, one scene, and I'm just as excited about that as I would be, you know, a bigger supporting role or leading role. But ideally, I just fall in love with the story that's being told, and I just want to be a part of it wherever I can fit in. And that's, I feel like in the last, you know, whatever, 10, 15 years, it's mostly what I've been chasing is really like scripts that, you know, maybe not everyone likes, but they're really personal to me, or I really, there's something about them that I really enjoy, that I mean, sometimes it's just a line that I just want to say. I did a film, Fairyland, and there's a great script, great story. Essentially I fell in love with it based on one scene. You know, I just really, really loved this one scene that I wanted to do. So it's different. Everyone's different. There's also a lot of movies that I want that I don't get, or stories that I want to get into that I don't. So, I mean, that's why I say I'm really lucky and really happy to be working on some of the projects that I get to work on.
Absolutely. And your career also goes beyond just the big screen, but you also are very extensive in your television work as well. So I always see you working like constantly. And from what I'm hearing, the way you describe it, like you're just like an ace utility player, like wherever you need to be for the story to work, you're happy to lend yourself over to the director's vision in that case.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in positions where I've like had to step out of the movie to get some other actor in there that will get the financing to get the role. I mean, sometimes I'll just bail on the film just because I want to see the movie get made, you know?
Yeah.
Or, you know, based on casting or financing or whatnot. But yeah, I don't know. I just feel, you know, Blood for Dust was something that came from Rod Blackhurst. I think David Gordon Green had introduced the two of us years before we made the movie. And he had sent me something that I really liked. It was a really good story. I don't think I fit really well into the role. And then later I watched his Amanda Knox documentary that I just thought was really clever and really well done and really well executed, that I phoned him back up and asked him if he had anything else. And he said, I had this thing, Blood for Dust. It took us about 3 or 4 years to get it off the ground. And, you know, Rod is really diligent. I mean, super hard worker. He's constantly working and constantly busy as well. So it took us a while. And I think Josh Lucas coming on, which was a huge deal. And I had known Josh personally, but been watching him for years. And then Kit Harington comes on, you know, Jon Snow, and you're just like, you know, and he just really kicked it into overdrive. So, you know, we were just so fortunate to be able to, you know, put the film together and get it made.
Yeah. Did you always read for Cliff, or was there any other role that you were considered for amongst the script?
I mean, I think I really liked Cliff. But I mean, I think there was a time I told Rod, like, look, if so, you know, I could play Ricky, I could play Cliff. You know, Ricky is something that feels like it's a little bit in my wheelhouse, and Cliff seemed not. And so I liked Cliff a lot better, but, you know, but Kit came in and just knocked, and he did such a great job, just knocked that Ricky role out of the park. And so now, you know, after seeing him do it, I couldn't imagine myself playing it or anyone else.
Well, I believe there's also a line of dialogue in the film too, that remarks that you are exactly the type of person that no one would suspect to be in the position that you're in. So in a way, it kind of benefits too, that maybe this role was one that you're drawn to, but maybe not one necessarily that people would go, yeah, Scoot McNairy for that particular role.
Yeah, it was the story, but also, I really wanted to see what Rod, the Blackhurst, the filmmaker, I really wanted to see what he was going to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes, you know, you're just, you, there's certain parts of a story that may, you know, escalate or lag or whatnot, but you know, a filmmaker can come in and really build suspense around things that look, you know, flat on a page or, you know, mundane. And so I was really interested to see, and also Justin Derry, the DP that he was working with, these guys, all of them, the production designer, they all work together all the time. So it was a really tight knit group. So, you know, it's just really cool to see what they put together. You know what I mean? Just to see what all these guys do.
Yeah. Well, this has been described as Breaking Bad meets Fargo. And when you hear, like, you know, a comparison such as that to describe this, do you think that that is on point? Or, like, what's your, like, feelings towards that?
I think the film is unique, and I think that we draw parallels to help understand things, but I think that all three of those projects are all individually just unique in their own way. And I think worlds clash, sometimes characters clash, but I mean, I never, you know, go into a this movie meets that movie. It feels like it's more for the sales and the finance people. But in my head, I always go into it thinking this is unique. It's different. It's, you know, I do like to look for projects that aren't repeating, like that there's something new about them, you know, or a new take on it or a new angle. And so, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I don't know, I'm just looking for something new and fresh, you know, and this team that he brought, you know what I mean, really put together something new and fresh. And it does lend itself to the world of Fargo, for sure.
Sure.
And also a little bit of the Breaking Bad. But I think that those two movies and TV shows are standalone, you know, incredible filmmaking and storytelling.
Yeah. One of the things that I was particularly struck by when I was watching this movie, and you've already spoke so highly of Rod, his control over tone and pacing of this movie, I think is just really gripping. And I found myself really being drawn into the world, the characters, like you said. And even though it's not, like, how would I say, maybe as, like, pulse pounding as maybe some of those shows, like we just mentioned at times, it definitely is, I would say, a slow build to getting where it gets to. But there's just such mastery of control. Was that something that you felt on set?
For sure. Rod, you know, Rod would always say, you know, you come up with an idea, hey, what if we did this or what that? And, he, you know, sometimes he'd be like, okay, yeah, let's try it. But most of the time he was like, well, that's just not the film language. So, like, he was very much, you know, composing and controlling that pace and wanting yeah. things to be slow burn. And I think, you know, after a couple of days of shooting, you sort of pick up on that tone or something and then try and, you know, use it or work it to your advantage, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I know you mentioned Kit Harington earlier, like you said, acting opposite the King in the North himself. What is that like seeing him as such a recognizable character that we watched for over a decade on television act opposite you in this completely different role? I mean, like, utterly transformed from what we have grown accustomed to seeing him in. Like, what is that like?
To all of our listeners of the Next Best Picture podcast, we know you love movies. We do too. Do you like going to the theater? Well, Regal Unlimited just makes sense. Regal Unlimited is the all-you-can-watch movie subscription pass that pays for itself in just 2 visits. See any standard 2D movie anytime with no blackout dates or restrictions. When you want to watch a movie in a premium format like 4DX, IMAX, RPX, or ScreenX, your Regal Unlimited membership gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost. And with Regal Unlimited, you won't just save money on tickets, you'll also save on snacks. Members get 10% off on all non-alcoholic concession items. So if you're planning to see 2 movies this month, just 2, you need to join Regal Unlimited. Sign up now in the Regal app or on regmovies.com/unlimited. That's regmovies.com/limited. And you can tell them Next Best Picture sent you with the promo code /RegalNBP24. That's /RegalNBP24.
It was awesome. I'm not going to lie. Seeing Kit come in and do this character and do it so well, you know, you're also kind of like, oh, this movie is really going to work, you know, now having this piece. But Kit's an amazing actor to begin with. You know, I'm always floored one of the favorite things about this job is seeing an actor come in and do something and, like, you know, blow you away, because we as actors get front row seats, you know, we get to look them right in the eye. So some of those performances you get to see, it's like it's a front row seat. Actors always constantly impress me. It's one of the coolest thing about the job is seeing what an actor will come in and seeing what they'll bring. You know, just as mesmerizing as you say it is watching it, it's the same as me working opposite of him. I was just really glad that he came on and did the movie.
Yeah. What would you say was probably the most memorable day on set for you while working on this project?
We had a lot of fun on this project, I'm not going to lie. Most memorable day was probably a couple snowstorms that really just socked us in. And it was about a 3 or 4 hour delay in the morning with some, I think we broke a bridge that we had to drive the car over. That was a big setback. Mostly just us just hacking out there in the cold. Kid opted out for these cowboy boots. He's like, I want these cowboy boots. And the first 2 days, he was like, I think I made a mistake fighting for these cowboy boots because my feet, I can't feel my toes. And, you know, of course, I'm wearing some Sorels. You know, my feet are nice and warm and cozy anyways. And so, that whole time, it was just funny to be like, oh, these damn boots, my toes, I can't feel them, which is ironic to me because, you know, some of those conditions, of course, they were geared up for it. Those conditions that they worked on Game of Thrones was just telling me, you have no idea. There was just days that it was just unsafe to be out there. It was just so cold.
Yeah, no, I can imagine such. One of the other things, too, that particularly struck me about this movie, too, is when it comes to your performance, like the interiority of this character and what he is dealing with, it's relatable to us as an audience. Average guy caught up in desperate circumstances turns to a world that we know is wrong, but he feels that he can find a way through. What would you say, like, in regards to just portraying characters who have that relatability but do push themselves to the brink is something that like, as a society, like, I know that for us as viewers, it's not like we would make these decisions, or at least hopefully most of us, right? But it's something that I feel when I watch your character in this movie.
I know. You know, also, too, when we were making this movie, it was the back end of pandemic. I mean, it was very... Mm-hmm. It was very much like people, and even now, like people are struggling, you know, with the economy or prices and inflation and whatnot. So it did the film and at the time didn't feel the character at the time didn't feel too far off from a lot of people being able to relate to it.
Right.
An average guy that's just fallen on hard times and is doing whatever he has to do to support his family. And I think that that's a through line that many people can relate to that have been in this position. You know, maybe they don't do something as far as running drugs or, you know, firearms, but you know, that feeling of feeling like I have no way out, I have no other choices, I think is a very universal feeling, and especially during this, you know, last couple of years or so.
In your world as an actor, it would be taking a film role to just pay the bills.
totally. Which, you know, we all do, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of other film roles, I saw Fairyland at the world premiere at Sundance.
Oh, nice.
What is the status of that film's release? I need to know. Do you know at this time?
I hear that it will come out this year. As far as the logistics of those details or what, I'm probably not the best person to speak about it. But yes, they. I don't know the ins and outs of it. There was some back and forth and whatnot. But I'm really, really excited for it to come out. And Andrew Durham is really excited because the filmmaker. We're all really excited for it to get its release. So I think there was just some kinks that they had to work out. But it definitely should be coming out this year. And I think we're all really excited for everyone to see it because it's such a powerful story.
Yeah. And another film that premiered at Tribeca last year alongside Blood for Dust, The Line. Another one that I very much enjoyed. I was like, man, I'm getting double Scoot McNairy here during Tribeca this year. This is amazing. But that was another gripping film. Is that one too, to your knowledge, coming out soon?
I believe so. I believe that one is in the throes of a distribution. I imagine the SAG strike kicked everything back like 6 months. And so, you know, it's really, as far as distribution on both those films, it really wouldn't be that far off if you take out that, you know, June to December date that we had last year that kind of held things up.
Sure. No, that makes a lot of sense, too. And you got obviously other films coming out later on this year with Speak No Evil and Night Bitch, particularly. But like both of those for different reasons. We're just all obviously looking forward to seeing your work in both of them. The trailer for Speak No Evil just recently dropped. I've seen the original. I know what people are in store for that one.
The original is so good.
Oh my God. It was seriously the most visceral reaction I've ever had to watching a movie. I was so angry when that film was over, but in a good way.
Yeah, me as well. And the filmmaker, the Danish filmmaker, he did a fantastic job on it. I was really surprised that they were remaking it because I thought it was done so well. But after having read the screenplay that James Watkins had written, and also I was able to see the film, it's similar themes but a completely different film, and I'm really excited for it to come out too. It's a great cast. We had so much fun working on it. Great producers on it. It's a Blumhouse film. And so that's the first time I was able to work with them. And, you know, all in all, like I think it's October around it comes out. So, And then Night Bitch, I don't think they've released a release date yet, or if they have.
December 6th.
There you go. I didn't know if I wasn't allowed to say that or not. Didn't want to get in trouble. So yeah, December 6th, that should come out. And again, Mari Heller, filmmaker I've been wanting to work with a long time. She's amazing. She put together a very interesting, unique film or story that I don't feel like we've seen before. And Amy Adams is absolutely flawless in this. I wouldn't be surprised if she gets both of them for screen adaptation, directing, and acting for her for some nominations. I mean, she's really, really, really incredible in it.
Well, we got to focus on you, man. We got to get you some nominations and some wins too out there, you know? I mean,
hey, I'm just happy to be working, you know? Don't want to be greedy.
Yeah, I don't blame you for that. I don't. Truly, I don't. But I mean, you've been a part, I know, of a couple of SAG Award winning ensembles with Argo. You were nominated with 12 Years a Slave and such. But who knows? Maybe this will be the year of Scoot McNairy when it comes to the award season trail. You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
No, you don't. Is that something that like matters to you? Do you like think about that ever in terms of like, oh, hearing your name get called out for a nomination or two?
That's a really great question. I mean, of course, it's always nice to be recognized by your peers for the work that you're doing. And I think that that really probably means more so to the people in the business than anything. But I mean, it's definitely not something I'm striving for, you know, and I don't think that you, I don't know. I don't think that you can strive for it. I think that, you know, those awards or these great performances are usually lightning in a bottle, where everything sort of lines up with the right character, the right role, the right thing, the right timing, the right theme, everything. And so I have just as much fun on the set as whether it's a, you know, big award thing film or like just a little independent that maybe only 500 people will see, you know, it's all the same. Yeah.
Yeah. And a complete unknown, are you done filming that or do you still have days left for shooting on that?
I still have a little bit of work left on that. Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. How's that coming along?
It's great. Again, James Mangold has been on my list for a long, long time. Not to mention to, you know, work with Timothy and work with some of this cast and the characters that they put together. Again, it was one of those moments of like, you're just kind of jaw dropped at what these actors bring to the table, and it's just mesmerizing to watch it, you know, in a front row.
Are you playing a real life character or a composite character or?
I could probably say I am playing a real life character. Okay. I don't know how much that I noticed that they've kept it under wraps. So I'm just, you know, if they kept it on, I wait till somebody else spots the information before I do, cause I'll probably get it wrong.
That's all right. That's all right. I just saw that you didn't have a name attached, so I was just curious, but that's totally fine. Well, I love hearing that you're busy. I love hearing that you're in demand. I love hearing too that you're happy to be working with filmmakers who, like you said, you have a list. And I just appreciate, like I said, just seeing you over the years just continue to evolve and grow. And no matter the scale of the project, man, you always just bring your A game.
Hey, thanks so much, Matthew. I appreciate that. Look, as I said, I feel like I've been in the bonus round for 15 years. It's all been just a wild ride, and I'm just so grateful. And I have to remind myself, don't take this for granted. Don't take this for granted. You know, so I'm really, really thank you for all those kind words. It's really kind of you.
Oh, of course. Well, for our listeners out there, Scoot McNairy stars in Blood for Dust, which is going to be released April 19th from The Avenue. It is a small film. It definitely needs your support. Please check it out. Scoot is fantastic in it, as well as the King of the North himself, Kit Harington, and a few others. Scoot, thank you so much for your time here today,
man. Hey, really, Matthew, thank you so much for your time. Great interview. I really enjoyed talking with you.
All right, man. Take care.
Take care.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to my interview with the star for the film Blood for Dust, Scoot McNairy, here on the Next Best Picture podcast. Blood for Dust will be released in theaters by The Avenue on April 19th. You have been listening to the Next Best Picture podcast. We are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and you can subscribe to us anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support. Which you can also lend on over at Patreon. For $1 minimum a month, you'll get some exclusive podcast content from us. Thank you all so much for listening, as always, and we will see you all next time.
Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.